Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, anyone know what channel the game's on?
We know. Download the Sports on What app today and always know how to watch the game. Satellite, cable, or streaming. Sports on What knows the channel the game is on, and you can too. Subscribe today to start your 7-day free trial. Sports on What. We know.
And now, here's the question.
Hola, bitches. Good day to you and yours. Okay, I don't know if anyone's told you. I don't know if you heard, but Thanksgiving is tomorrow.
What?
Yeah, man. Thanksgiving is tomorrow. Jeez. And if you're like millions of Americans, you'll be spending a large part of the day with family. You know, the aunt in a holiday sweater covered in cat hair, the drunk uncle, the racist grandfather, the weird cousin that really should have a job but still doesn't, the sibling who flew in all the way from Toledo, and, of course, the sister with the really stupid husband, or as we like to call it, the family. And whatever else might happen tomorrow, you can pretty much count on hearing that story. And you already know the one, because it's the same story every year about that thing that happened to a certain family member or something that that family member did. And depending on your family, the story might be funny, it might be salacious, or it might be downright insane. So there's a few headlines that we came across just today that we expect gonna be a hot topic of conversation around those particular families' dinner tables. For example, man missing for 25 years. Found after sister spots him in a news article. That's a good story. But here's one that'll make Thanksgiving awkward. Mom hid daughter in drawer for 3 years. And then here's one that's simply stupid. Mother admits she's having trouble pronouncing her own newborn baby's name because she named her child something that she has a hard time pronouncing. But look, today we want to hear about your family as you answer today's question. And this is what we want to know in honor of Thanksgiving. Good or bad? What is the most legendary story involving a member of your family?
To be a part of the Big Show, call 206-803-ROCK. Like the Men's Room on Facebook, follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Men's Room Live, and send those emails to themensroom@kisw.com.
The debauchery rolls on. You're listening to The Men's Room with Miles and Thrill. 99.9 KISW.
Oh, but tell us, away we go. Welcome to Season 19, Episode number 4228. What a large and in charge program we have for you today. Guaranteed future repeats. Oh, yeah. Sonic return of Who Sucks Less. I don't know how you do it, Steve. You bring us three stories from the news each and every week. People do bad things. It's up to us to determine, out of the three stories, which one sucks the least. I'm assuming you went easy over the holiday edition.
You know what they say about assuming things, Miles.
Okay.
It makes an ass out of you. They also say it me, but, you know, just you. No, not really. And maybe I shouldn't have picked these since food is a big thing tomorrow. Mm-hmm. One of them involves food that you wouldn't eat. Another one involves a man with an interesting fascination. And then a father that tried to have a bonding moment with his son.
Ooh, okay.
He just didn't do it well.
Who Sucks Less is coming up at 4:30. Also, just so you know, if you're listening to the program tomorrow, yesterday, we're not going to be on tomorrow, the Daily Mix Morning Show, they offered a little challenge. And by the end of the show yesterday, the goal was, if we reached a certain number of donations for Coats for Kids, that Taryn Daly would go up on stage on Live Night and sing Father Christmas from the Kinks. Now, I want to say the goal, as they do on the morning show quite often, was $6,900.
I don't know how you guessed that, but you're correct.
That's the number they gave. By the time that we got off the air yesterday, the number was around $9,500, which means if you get a ticket to Live Night with tickets starting at just only $35, you'll be able to join us for a great night of live radio and see Taryn do that.
And remember, she doesn't want to. That's why it makes the whole thing fantastic.
Tickets are available at KISW.com. Now, one thing you have to know concerning coats for kids. The deal is we want to put a brand new coat on a kid in need in the Pacific Northwest. It costs $20 for a brand new American coat.
Yep.
All right? So we're at about $10,000. To do that, for the $20 you can donate, we need about $50,000.
Yep.
So as we sit right now, we are only one-fifth of the way there. Now, we have a great start, a great jump on this, but just know, if you have some time, head to KISW.com, give what you can. We're going to hit that $50,000 mark and do some good, as there are 300,000 kids, believe it or not, in Washington who live in poverty. So $2,500, that is a reasonable goal.
Yeah.
And we want to get it done. So if you get some time, please head there and give what you can. All right, Todd, the question today, good or bad, what is the most legendary story involving a member of your family? Steve, as you said, there are stories that get told when family members are around all the time, as far as cool things that family members have done, embarrassing things that family members have done.
I feel like it's more embarrassing or bad than the
worst.
Cool. But it seems like Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving or Christmas, whatever the holiday is where you spend the most time with the most members of extended family, you already know the story that's coming.
Yeah.
And everyone there has heard it 5 million times, except usually, I don't know if there's like the new boyfriend or girlfriend or something. Someone will take the opportunity to be like, oh, how long have you been dating Ted?
Oh, about 3 months now.
Sure. Let me tell you about Ted from 37 years ago when he pooped his pants in front of Mickey. And like, you've heard the story. It changes a little bit, but it will never, ever, ever go away. And even though you've already heard it, it's like watching your favorite movie. You listen to it again.
Yes. I told a buddy yesterday. He unfortunately acquired a black eye when we were recently on a trip.
And how many black eyes have been going around these days?
Dude, it's contagious.
He started it.
Is this the third black eye story I've heard in the last 2 weeks?
This is the same second one.
No.
No?
He had his first, then your wife,
this is a
right?
Different one?
Hang on. And then VD's lady friend acquired a black eye. So there's three black eye stories total.
In 1 week.
But I told him, I said, now that it's all healed up, because I'll be with him on Friday with a group of friends for a birthday, I said, you're not going to want to hear this, but I have to tell the story at least once or twice.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Because it involves chicken wings left on a floor.
I heard it yesterday. And it's like, it's a great story. I mean, it's not hugely epic. And if you know this guy, it's kind of par for the course. But I enjoyed hearing it, going like, this all makes sense.
No concussions. He's not hurt. So I'm like, you got the all clear from your doctor. He's like, yeah, Mike.
He went to the doctor.
Yeah.
Just to make sure he wasn't concussed.
No, I did my amateur boxer estimation that I was like, I don't think he's concussed. It was more to make sure he hadn't really fractured his eye socket.
Yeah, you said it was real bad.
Yeah, I mean, his whole face was swollen up.
I've told the story before about my grandfather who was in World War II, and he was on a minesweeper, and he took a coconut off of the bikini atoll before they blew it up. Now, the other story, depending on what family we went to for Thanksgiving, was the story of my other grandfather, and that's my stepfather's dad, Grandfather Nick. And Grandfather Nick was also a veteran of World War II. But the story that we heard was, because we were kids, was the story of when he and his twin brother, Uncle Joe, were kids growing up. And their father fought in World War I.
Okay.
All right. But at the time, it was the Great Depression, so to speak. They were younger. They were 8 and 9. And both of them, because of their father, they were training to be boxers at the age from 6 on.
Okay, yeah.
They're both twin brothers, and they would fight each other, and they would spar each other constantly with their dad over top of them, basically teaching them all the time.
How to beat each other to death.
Because their father was a boxer in the Army in World War I.
All right.
That was what he did. That was one of the things he did. But being from an Italian household, boxing was the most popular sport other than soccer.
Yeah.
And so they boxed. So at one point in time, the United States Army, or the United States government, they basically determined that they were not going to give bonuses to the men that they signed up and guaranteed bonuses to be able to put a down payment on a home, to be able to put your kid through school, and it was the Army bonus. At one point in time, the Army said, you know what? Because of the Depression and everything else, even though you all did your job and came back, we're not going to give you that bonus. And so a small little rebellion started in Portland, Oregon. And this is 1931, 1932.
Okay.
This is after World War I. That movement grew into a march on Washington, D.C. Now, The guys who are marching there were all veterans. They were going for the benefits. They did not know that the United States Army would then be ordered to attack them.
To attack the veterans that are protesting.
The veterans at the memorials, at the White House, at the Capitol, that were there on a peaceful mission to march to get their bonus money.
Yeah.
It was called the bonus march. And when they get there, they get tear gassed, they get shot at. My grandfather and his brother, they went there as 8-9-year-olds to provide entertainment for the troops, and they would have boxing matches.
Now they would have a smoker.
Yeah, they would have them individually with guys who were in the service, but they also had these two young kids who would go up all the time and fight each other, and they became like the stars of the show as far as people wanting to see these two fight. Again, they're twin brothers. They have the same skill set. Right. They literally would go up there, and they fought all the time.
Was this still a bare knuckle back then?
They stood toe-to-toe with each other, as two brothers would, and they did this every day, and people would come around and, you know, give money to their father, like as a little donation, just so he had some money to feed everybody and feed them. And they became somewhat famous as being the two kids who were boxers during the bonus march. So the story was just about, they also got tear gassed.
Right. Yeah, there's also that.
They were driven from D.C., but eventually, because of that march, they were able to get, and they talked about, you know, traveling, just being able to get to D.C., how difficult that was, finding a place to stay. They all stayed in tents.
Right.
So they were all just down there, kind of camping out, waiting to find out what the government was going to say about this. And then all of a sudden, one afternoon, here comes their own guys, and they're attacking them.
Who was the president at that time?
Oh, man, I don't know. 1932.
Who is that?
Hoover, maybe?
Maybe.
But it became a legendary thing, and one of those things where, you know, we kind of made it a point in history.
Franklin D. Roosevelt.
FDR.
Oh, he beat Hoover. Oh, literally in 32. So I don't know that march was before.
FDR didn't strike me as that type. Hoover wouldn't strike me that type, but Hoover was going through some stuff, I would say.
But as a part of a history, you learned a lot about that time and era. Also, they had vivid memories of their time there. And, you know, all the other kids that they met, families were there. And just how kind of, how famous they ended up being in just a short amount of time as far as the people who were down there and lifting their spirits and everything else.
Is there any connection to the Montgomery GI Bill?
This was the Olivers. So this was a different family. Okay. This was my stepfather's family. But, yeah, I'll take credit for that.
Yeah, go ahead, man.
Yeah, it's somebody's related to my family.
Hey, good work.
I mean, we're all Montgomerys after all. You know?
Yeah.
Except for the ones who play football. definitely a division there. But, yeah, I mean, I just, it was kind of, we were the same age when he was telling the story. So he was like, your age. Bless you, Ted. This is what we did. And that was the crazy thing that kind of
And what were you doing at that time?
I was failing math.
Right.
You know, I was your age. We did this. And I was like, man, that was just a cool story.
That is. But that's also kind of a historic positive story.
Correct. It is.
Yeah.
Well, that's the thing. When you can tell a story that involves actual U.S. history, you're like, oh, wow, man, that's significant. Like the one story my mother always tells, nothing to do with history. It was just a moment in time for her, which was her best friend. It's a woman named Sylvia, and they were roommates at the time. And Sylvia started dating this new guy. And she'd been talking about him to my mom. My mother had never met her. So this guy was going to come by in his car and take Sylvia and my mother out for dinner. Right? So she's like, cool. Kind of the third wheel, but an invited third wheel. We're going to ride the tricycle today. So she goes, now keep in mind, I'm a black woman. This is the early 60s. You have no rights. Your jobs pay crap. And here comes this brother and a Cadillac. Mm-hmm. And already she's like, he must be up to no good, right? Because brothers aren't rolling around in a Cadillac like that unless they were up to no good. But this guy pulls up. She said, pretty good looking guy, young guy, whatever. And she steps in the car. She had to get in back. Sylvie got to sit up front, you know, next to her boyfriend. And my mom gets in back and she introduces herself. And she says, this guy turns around and said everything he said rhymed. And he was super cocky. And really, that's not the way to get on my mother's good side. But she's like, look, I'm not dating a guy. It is what it is. But he turns around and introduces himself and says, my name is Cassius Clay. My mother's like,
wow,
great. Nice to meet you. Carolyn Cox at the time, not Carolyn Hilliard. And I went out and they had a fine dinner. And she said, but this guy, man, he talked through the entire dinner. It's not like he bragged. He would do a lot of humble bragging. Hell, nothing humble about the man. But he kind of did some bragging, but it didn't seem like he was trying to belittle anyone around him. He was just exceptionally confident. My mother finally asked him, said, look, what do you do? He's like, I'm a fighter. I'm a boxer. She's like, oh, so you don't have a job. That's my mom's take on it, right? He's like, oh, I'm getting paid, blah, 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 blah. So I don't know where he was in his career at this time, but he was not being, like, nationally televised yet because you still didn't really know who he was. And my mom wasn't paying attention to boxing anyway. But he kept saying, hey, I think he had to go somewhere to do something, maybe train for a fight or something. But he was going to be gone for a significant number of weeks. So as he's saying goodbye to my mom's friend Sylvia, and then he's, you know, bidding adieu to my mother at the time, he's like, oh, the next time you see me, I'm going to be something special. And my mother shrugged it off because she goes, when you talk to this guy, that was always just kind of how he carried himself anyway. So no matter what he said, you didn't quite believe it. You know, sure enough, Sylvia and this guy, they break up. But Sylvia gives my mom a call like a year and a half later or something. So I was like, put on ABC's Wide World of Sports.
I was going to say, is this before he was in the Olympics? Is this before?
I think so. I think so, right?
Because
so,
he went to war.
Yeah. He didn't.
He didn't.
He did not.
Yeah, and he had served. And when he got out of prison, he was now Muhammad Ali. All right. So because he was Cassius Clay, spent his time in prison, you know, served his time, came out as Muhammad Ali. So she met him as Cassius Clay because that's how he rolled at the time. Anyway, she's like, I turn on ABC's Wide World of Sports or whatever it was. And she's like, why am I going to watch a boxing match? Because my friend Sylvia never explained why she wanted her to watch. And she's like, sure enough, I hear them say the name Cassius Clay. And she's like, there is no way, as my mom puts it, it is this fool that my friend was dating. And sure enough, she goes, this fool walks into the ring. He's dancing around pre-fight. And she's like, oh, my God, he hasn't changed. He's still an idiot. Look at how cocky. She's like, man, in like three rounds, he just tore some big guy apart. She was like, I became a Cassius Clay fan. Then my man went to jail, you know, and she was like, look, do your time. But when he came out Muhammad Ali, she was like, you know why you change your name when you go to prison? This is what she always tells me based on this. Like, why? She goes, because you're coming out pissed off. And he came out and went on to have the career. I'm like, that is insane. She goes, well, look, you know, at the time, I did not know that he was going to be this international icon. You can't predict that about someone early in someone's career.
But didn't your mom also go to, like, high school with Clarence Clemens from Bruce Springsteen and the E Street Band?
Okay, well, that's high school. So two people she went to high school with, it was Clarence Clemens from the E Street Band. And one thing she said about him was that dude played his saxophone all the time. So, like, the bell would ring in between classes. He would walk down the hall playing the sax, but the kids thought it was cool. Like, it wasn't annoying. He was real nice. Blah, 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 blah. I think he may have dated one of her friends, but I'd ask my mother, hey, did you ever date Clarence Clemens? I cannot give an exact quote, but she goes, I thought he was an ugly mother effer.
Oh.
She goes, he was nice.
She didn't say mother effer.
She did.
Oh, did she?
That is how my mom talks. You ask her a question like
that. Wow, that's pretty harsh.
Because it was almost more like offensive to her.
What about Steve? He is one ugly
mother effer, right?
Thanks.
And then she also went to school with I can't think of his name. The brother from WKRP.
Venus Flytrap?
Yeah, Venus Flytrap. What is his name? Something Reed.
And the problem is, Clarence Clemens, by the time I Google him, he's already in the band and looks cool.
Oh, he looks cool, but look at his face.
Vernon Reed? No, that's Tim Reed.
Thank you. A black Tim.
Black Tim.
Our question, good or bad, what is the most legendary story involving a member of your family? 206-803-ROCK.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
99.9 KISW. The shenanigans continue. This is the Men's Room with Miles and Thrill.
All right, so we just say good or bad. This one kind of bad. So there's a dude up in Wisconsin who basically decided to fake his own death.
Yes.
He took a kayak out on a lake and over-tipped the kayak, left his, I want to say, whatever items that you would normally think that no one would ever leave behind.
Right.
Like his cell phone was still on the shore, or his, I don't know, car keys. His vehicle was left there.
Yeah.
So he fakes his own death. Then apparently what this guy does is he gets on an electric bike and rides that electric bike 70 miles north on the electric bike.
Does that put you in Canada?
He is real close to Canada because that's his ultimate drop-off point. He then, a day later, crossed over into the border of Canada, got himself on an airplane, and flew to somewhere in Eastern Europe.
Okay.
With a woman that apparently he was corresponding with.
No, wait, was he already married?
He was married with three children.
Oh, okay.
He's 44 years old. They had an idea that this happened because he used his actual passport when he boarded the flight to Europe. He did check back in with authorities and his family members and said, I'm sorry.
Much time had gone by?
Keep in mind,
or did they say?
A few weeks. They've been looking for him at the bottom of this lake and used resources for weeks. You know, the sonar stuff. They had divers going down there.
Of course, yeah.
Trying to find this guy. He's alive and well. They still don't know where this guy is. He changed the hard drive in his computer. He erased his search history before he disappeared the day before. These were some of the tips.
All right.
He also took out a $375,000 life insurance policy, which was intended to help his family. But then,
the one that he abandoned, yes.
He transferred those funds to a foreign account, changed his email, and was in Uzbekistan, apparently, when these transactions went through. They were able to get in contact through him through a Russian, quote, speaking woman. Although they have yet to verify it's the same woman he'd been speaking to before disappearing, but they are assuming that this is the same person. He expressed concerns if he does come back to the United States, it's going to be hard to live, and no one will accept him. But the community has stated before that they're willing to forgive him.
What?
Especially if he comes back and he can convince his kids that he's sorry. Christmas is coming. What a better gift he could give his kids than to be there for Christmas with them.
I don't know if that's the spin I would put on that story.
Like this, he faked his death, and then he went to Russia for a woman, right?
Uzbekistan, sure.
Right, yes.
All right, I think I've seen a video they think is that same guy where he's like on a bicycle and there's somebody holding a sign up that's like, stop for advice.
All right.
And he's like, yeah, thinking about moving for this woman. Like, I don't know if it's real, but if it is him, it's so awkward. As he's like, well, no, I love my wife and my family. I like this woman more.
Mm-hmm. Now, this is definitely,
either way, tomorrow's going to be awkward Thanksgiving for that family, man. Because, look, I'm sure they have other relatives that say, oh, Carol, don't go through the stress. We'll take her before it. That's great. Carol shows up at, you know, I don't know, her sister's house or whatever. Those three kids are still going to be absolutely miserable. And there's no way you can't bring that up. Because I know how my wife operates, right? She would say it's my sister. So my brother-in-law pulled this move, all right? So she's coming out for Thanksgiving and she's bringing the three kids with her. I go, okay, that's the right thing to do. And she'd say, hey, whatever you do, don't bring up Doug, who went to Uzbekistan.
Right.
Hey, babe. There is no way on earth I can't bring up her Uzbekistani husband.
Okay. All right, look.
Thanksgiving's ruined forever, man. There's no way this does not come up.
Any spouse will tell you. You know, the idea of their significant other passing on is one of the most horrible thoughts you could ever have.
I don't know that my wife agrees, but
exactly. You know, she would be she would be heartbroken.
I mean, for a minute, you know.
But eventually, like most people who are widowers, some tend to move on in life. And
my
continue.
Wife would reach out to Tay Diggs and the brothers and bring it.
Exactly. But even if you think your kids don't love you, trust me, they do.
They do.
They love you more than anything in the world. They might not have the means to express it to you as they would like to. Maybe one day they will. But they do. They love you a lot. And the idea of you being gone, and by being gone, I mean you are dead.
Yeah.
So the kayak is upside down. Your car is still there.
Right. All that crap.
For 3 weeks, your children believe that their father has passed away. So just the emotional toll of any human being, especially a child, knowing one of their parents, and essentially he is gone.
He's not there.
He's not.
He's just not dead.
He's correct. But they believed that their father had passed away.
That to me is the worst part of the story. Man.
Correct. I mean,
that,
when like, you look at the whole scope of everything, the wife could go, well, he's kind of a jackass anyway.
Well, one thing that's not mentioned in that article, they said, well, first of all, as one of our more astute listeners points out, if the guy comes back to the States, he's also going to go to jail. So it's not like he's coming home for Christmas. They're going to put your ass in jail.
Insurance fraud, everything.
All
else.
That stuff, right? Right. But the other thing, it just seems to me like, okay, you pulled this move. Your kids thought you were dead. Now that they know you're alive, I can't imagine the rage they have inside.
Oh,
but,
totally.
But in the article, it says the community said it would forgive him. Well, the community has no personal involvement. It did not say if the wife or kids were. And look, if it's me, I just need forgiveness from my family.
You left me for another woman, faked a death.
In Uzbekistan.
Jumped the border, flew out of Canada, and you won't even identify where you are in Europe. You left me, you left our kids behind.
Got rid of your search history.
I'm sorry. Right. That is, that's a lot of layers. That's a lot more than
I think we're
taking some time off, and we're separating for a small amount of time to try to figure things out, if that's where you're at.
And you're right about the kids. I think that's up to those kids and time to make a decision, but if I'm that wife...
No, come on.
There's no chance.
No.
You're
dead.
No.
You're right.
No.
You're dead. You know what? You are dead to me.
Correct.
People have gotten divorced for much more petty things than that.
Correct. Now, here's a family story that's not nearly that deep, but it is kind of interesting. And the story came out yesterday. Could Billy Corgan from the Smashing Pumpkins and comedian Bill Burr be half-brothers? Well, Billy Corgan's stepmother...
Mm-hmm.
She seems to believe so. And she told him this. This was not some wild thing that Billy Corgan, concocted in his brain when he saw Bill Burr and said, you know what, we do have a similarity. Because he never thought that. He did not know who Bill Burr was initially. But he was on Howie Mandel's podcast, and he shared a story he's never told anyone before, and it goes like this. About 10 years ago, my stepmom said to me, do you know who Bill Burr is? And at that point, I never heard of him. I pulled up a picture on the phone, and I kind of noticed right away. You know what? He kind of looks exactly like my father.
Okay.
She goes, I think it is one of your father's illegitimate children. Bill Burr might be one of the children that your father sired in his days of being a traveling musician. She said, this is a true story. I'm not making this up. There is no joke in this. Please know I'm telling you the truth. Billy says it seemed possible at first because they are similar in age, and when he turned 18, at that time, his dad told him in private that he had a secret half-brother named Bill.
Mm-hmm.
Now, keep in mind...
So Bill Burr has a secret half-brother named Bill?
Billy Corgan.
He's
got a secret brother named Bill.
That's confusing.
I didn't even think about that, but now that you've said it, like apparently dad, like I really like the name
Bill.
And
he also had another child named Bill.
Jeez, man. What is it, George Foreman?
He had them with different women. They
so just name them all Billy, and you won't screw it up.
Not to mention, his stepmom thinks the dad had a total of at least 12 illegitimate children.
Damn.
And where Bill Burr's mother lived was part of his territory and a town that he would go to regularly.
All right.
But ultimately, Billy says, I can't buy it all the way. It's my belief at this point, because I've sat on the story for 10 years, I don't think Bill Burr and I are related. I think it's just one of those things. There are people in the world that look like, so maybe that's just it.
Maybe. It's easy enough to do a DNA test.
But not when your stepmother is the one that's concocting this thing based
that's
on
the
facts
difference
that she knows to be true. This is not your mother who does not want to tell you a deep, dark secret about your dad to protect him. This is a stepmom.
Right.
You know, stepmom probably went, yeah, that's why I divorced his ass, because, you know, I found out he had at least 12 illegitimate children.
All named Bill.
You know, I love him, but, you know, he's never faithful, so I had to move on.
Sure.
Whatever the deal is. Like, it seems more believable when it's coming from someone that's not your maternal parent.
Maybe.
In a way.
There's no reason.
Because why else would you say this about someone who'd passed on?
Right. Yeah.
Except for
the fact
that, you know, that's what she thinks. So,
yeah. Also, though, I mean, the guy's passed on, so maybe it's like, all right, I can kind of tell him now.
I would think that goes a long way.
I mean, what is an age you drop that on any kid?
Yeah.
I don't care if they're an adult or not. You know what I mean? Like,
well, it's hard to know. Do you want to drop it on them when they're a kid? So at least they can come to terms with it on their own. Grow up with it as part of their life. Do you wait until they're 18, say you're an adult, and let them know? Or you wait until you're on your deathbed and you're like, I've been holding the secret for 50 years, blah.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'd be more pissed. Like, to me, tell me at 18.
Right.
If there's something I need to know, just tell me at 18. I'm an adult. Whether I like it or not, that's part of the adult world. Things suck. You deal with it. That's how life works. If you told me on your deathbed, I would say, all right, before you tell me this, it better be, like, real juicy, man, if you've been holding this from me.
Well, like, look, I'll tell a little family secret, right? Like,
And my mother was born a man.
To my dad's credit, right? He fought in Vietnam, right? You know, went to OCS, found out at Arlington that he had a Bronze Star. So he did do all that stuff. But he also bitched and moaned about the draft my entire childhood.
Right.
Then finally, at like 19 or 20, my mom just looks at me and goes, he volunteered. He thought he got a girl pregnant.
Oh. Oh.
Come on.
So it's like, if he had just let it be and just said, yeah, I got drafted, but I mean, he would go on and on about how horrible the draft was. And
this but
was,
he was never drafted.
I'm sure that he had a lot of people that he was in his battalion that could argue that point.
Correct.
Just not him.
Yeah, just not you.
And if he had just let it be, but he would go on and on about it. You don't want to know about a draft. It's like, look, everybody was buying the story. You didn't have to embellish it.
Right. Well, my dad, man, I only found out a couple of years ago. I've grown up knowing he was in the Navy, and he behaves like a guy that was in the military, right? The way he cleans, all the precision stuff. And finally, it was my mother. Again, I'm 55. About 10 years ago, she's like, Robert, did you ever tell him why you joined the Navy? It never occurred to me to ask. I just thought, like, all right, that's what you wanted to do out of high school. Well, it involved a high-speed chase with the police in frickin' Houston, and he got to make a decision about whether or not you want to go to jail for 2 years or join the military. So he picked the Navy. And I'm like, that's why you joined the Navy. My veteran dad here, this guy I'm so proud of, he's like, yeah, that about sums it up, man. Okay.
Yep.
Just kind of mind blown. I didn't know, because he's such an even-keeled, fair dude, to just even the idea of him in legal trouble. I'm like, are you kidding me? Because after they shared that story, I'm like, wait. I got in trouble for about 500 different things when I was growing up, like big trouble, right? None of them were that bad. It did not involve police chasing me and guns drawn and all the rest of this crap, man. I'm like, really? So you gave me grief. So,
do you think that was just the option the judge gave? Just yes. Kind of doing his own
That was the option the judge gave.
It's like, all right, I'm going to give you another option here.
Well, because exactly.
It's common.
It's common, okay. But in his situation, as he explained it. So he got in his high-speed chase with the cops, but the cops that were chasing him were in unmarked vehicles. And he said, again, as a black dude in the late 50s, early 60s in Texas, he's like, you don't pull your vehicle over when a bunch of white boys are chasing you. You think right. You just don't do it, man. It's a death sentence. So he's like, I did not know they were cops. They never put on lights. So they're flying through the streets of Houston. And then when a marked cop car flipped its lights on, he's like, I pulled over. And I'm explaining to the cops, like, hey, man, these freaking hillbillies. And he's like, whoa, man, they're undercover cops, blah, 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 blah. So he got arrested. But it was hard to, you could say evading police, but they believed that he did not know there were police. And when they actually put the sirens on a real car, he did pull over. So they believed him, but it doesn't mean he didn't commit crimes
right.
When you're driving 95 miles an hour through downtown. So I think that's why the judge was like, you did something wrong. I understand your motivation, but these are your options. It's like, I picked the Navy.
Did you guys, I've heard a similar story before on the traveling salesperson tip. With a buddy of mine, and the entire family, both families, did not find out until the funeral.
Okay.
So this was a lifetime of stuff. So essentially what happened was, my buddy's dad passed on, and when he was in, it happened quickly. It was not one of those things where he was in hospice or like he had a heart attack, he had a stroke.
Okay.
He was still working at the time, and he just flatlined, right? Well, my buddy did not realize that his father had another family in a town about 30 miles away, and he already had 5 brothers and sisters.
Damn.
So they had a big family. The other family had 5 brothers and sisters. When that funeral went down, they all met for the very first time.
But they did not know that the other families...
The other families existed.
So they literally met and even found out about each other.
At their father, husband's funeral. 2 wives... 10 kids, 1 funeral, all the cousins from both sides of the family got together. And I believe they have a much better relationship now as far as people reaching out to their half-brothers,
well, sure.
Half-sisters. But at the time, it was one of those things where, like, that girl looks just like me.
Mm-hmm. Or I dated him.
Or I am the same age as that guy who is my brother. We could be twins on age. We look similar. But that all went down at his dad's funeral. So I get the call when he gets back home, because at this point he's an adult, and he's like, "You are not going to believe,
yeah,
what I can tell you about the weekend I just had back home." And I'm like, "All right, lay it on me." And he tells me that, I'm like, "You got to be kidding me." He's like, "Yeah." He's like, I'm meeting these people for the first time, but they're my brothers and my sisters. He's like, "It's kind of cool,
but
it just hasn't sunk in yet."
Yeah,
that this is real.
Are you even grieving your dad at this point? And I'm not saying that because you're not sad. I'm saying I would be so overwhelmed with the mirror image family that's there. I'd almost forget that my dad is sitting in a coffin. Yeah. You're like, "Wait, what?" Even if the priest is like, "At this time," I'd be like, "Hold on a minute, man. Hang on."
I mean, there's still parts of the story I don't know, but like I was talking about my buddy Bernie, right? There was 8 kids.
Yeah.
Now, sometime when we were in high school, something happened with his mom and dad. So who knows how long was going on. Bottom line is they end up getting divorced. Bernie's father has another family, like up in Frederick, right? We live closer down to D.C.
Yeah.
So for years.
Did he have it at the same time?
Yeah, like he left in high school. And I can't explain to you, Bernie's father was a very scary man, right? He was like a fire chief, this and that. And the man, I mean, right, like, I took one of his daughters to proms, hung out with Bernie all the time. The man never spoke to me other than, like, "What are you doing in my house?" Right, like, so I mean, not in a mean guy. He was just one of those dudes.
"What are you doing in my house?"
So his youngest brother's playing football, I'm there, and here comes Mr. Granzo. Couldn't be nicer. "Teddy, great to see you." I said, this is weird. So then I tell the story to Bernie, and Bernie's like, "All right, I got to let you in on a secret. My dad left a while ago. He's got another family." Like, whoa. So for years, it's just not spoken. He's not at anything. You don't see him. And then he kind of gets sick, and a couple of siblings start going up there and trying to reconnect.
Sure.
And meet the new family. Well, he ends up passing away. And then at the funeral, you don't see this a ton at an actual funeral with a casket in there, but for some reason they let a couple other people talk. And this one uncle gets up there and is like, "I'm talking to the family, the real family."
Oh, no.
It was like, dude, even I was like, "Come on, man, not the time or the place."
Read the room.
Right.
Good or bad, what is the most legendary story involving a member of your family? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Kayla. Welcome to the men's room.
Hi, this is Kayla, yes.
Hola.
Perfect.
Is it
Hola.
Kayla?
Yes. What?
Yes.
Is it you? All right, just making sure.
Yes, this is Kayla.
Okay.
Good.
What's the story, Kayla?
All right, so, my mom has told me a while back when I was growing up that she went out to a bar in Tacoma one night with a couple of her friends, and next thing you know, this black guy walks up on her, and he's all asking her if she can go home with him.
And I don't remember that.
Mm-hmm. No, the funny thing is, though, it was Sir Mix-a-Lot that was trying to take my mom home.
Okay, quick question.
Does your mom have a big butt?
Yes, she does.
He did not lie.
He did not lie.
And you cannot deny that.
Did she know it was Sir Mix-a-Lot at the time, or had he done anything yet?
I don't remember if she knew it was Sir Mix-a-Lot at the time. I remember her telling me the story and then her always teasing me, saying, "You know, he could have been my stepdad," if she wasn't said yes.
All right. Now, do you have a big butt? Did you get a big butt from your mom?
It's there.
It's
I don't
fair.
Know if it's big, but my daughter likes to smack on it all the time. So,
how old's your daughter?
She just turned 14 yesterday.
Okay.
I'm still slapping your ass. All right. You got an ample ass. Just so you know.
All right.
So your mom does have a big butt. I don't know why. That just made my day hearing that. Mm-hmm. Because he says that.
Well, it'd be cool to be hit on by a celebrity. I mean, I don't know anybody that's had that experience.
You maybe, if you played your cards right, only because you did not realize who she was, you and Toni Braxton.
Oh,
then you
not
hit
that.
It off.
Nah, I mean, we were having a great conversation.
But she had to go do something because...
Yeah, she was getting a Lifetime Achievement Award from the WAMU.
That's what I'm saying. But you said the conversation you were having, like, truly friendly, enjoying each other's company.
Yeah, well, we were all at the bar.
She just distracted because she had to go, you know, look, get her reward.
It's like the smoking section. The people who are standing around the bar tend to congregate and start talking together, where everyone else at the table is just sitting around chatting with people they know.
Sure.
Yeah, that's didn't fair. Know anybody. I'm up at the bar doing my thing.
I went to a live auction this year. You're exactly right. I mean, more friends standing around the bar drinking a beer.
Exactly.
Always. Because everybody else, you're right, is sitting at the tables, kind of eating or whatever. Yeah. It's like, hey, what's up, bud?
Good or bad, what is the most legendary story involving a member of your family? 206-803-ROCK.